Take your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, we are concluding our series on the book of Galatians. Next week, a new series begins on, it's called Soul Check, and it's on the assurance of salvation. So a series on the assurance of salvation beginning next week, titled Soul Check. But we are finishing Galatians this morning, starting with verse 11 of chapter 6. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. And as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you have given us your word to reveal to us you, your plan, your mind, and we pray, Father, for the Spirit of God to illuminate our hearts this morning, that we might see, we might hear, we might understand what you would have for us. Help us to taste and see that the Lord is good. And we ask for your blessing at this time, in Jesus' name, amen. Paul has been writing in the book of Galatians to the believers of Galatia about the freedom that they have in Christ, a freedom that changes their lives. To combat the false teaching of the Judaizers, who were teaching that the Christian life should be a life of bondage, and they were glorying, they were proud, they were boasting in that bondage. And Paul says, that's not the gospel. The gospel is Christ, a freedom in Christ. And central to the Christian life is the cross of Jesus Christ. The Judaizers were boasting about keeping the law. And he was telling the believers, if you're going to boast and boast in anything, then you are to boast in the cross. To boast in the cross. And here he gives us, as he closes his letter, some reminders of what they are to boast in, to reminders of what a cross-centered life looks like. In verses 12 to 13, we read, as many desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are the circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. First of all, we see here that a cross-centered life is humble, not prideful. A cross-centered life is humble, not prideful. The false teachers were self-centered. They were prideful. They were manipulators. The word here that says, for they constrain you, the word constrain can be translated compel. They compelled you. They were manipulators who tricked you or who forced you to do what they wanted you to do. They were compromisers. They did this. They followed after the law so that they would not be persecuted themselves. And, hey, we're just like you, Jewish people. We believe Christ, but we still follow the law. And so, therefore, don't persecute us. Don't hurt us. Don't harm us. They were hypocrites. They didn't keep the law themselves. They wanted Jew to be circumcised. They wanted Jew to follow the law, but they weren't going to do it themselves, and they were going to boast. They weren't boasting in the fact that they were following the law. They were boasting in the fact they got you to do it. He says, this is not what you're supposed to be. They were braggers who loved to boast. Hey, look at me. Puff themselves up. Here, look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look at my good works. Look what I'm following. And Paul says, this has nothing to do with Christianity. This has nothing to do with true faith or true religion. True faith, true religion is about what God has done, not what you have done. Amen. It's not about human achievement. It's about Jesus Christ. And we are to praise him. If it's about human achievement, then we praise you. But it's not about you. It's about divine accomplishment. It's about praising who Jesus is. Either you are going to glory in the flesh, or you are going to glory in Christ. You can't do both. You need to pick one. And our culture is wrapped up in boasting. We exalt popularity. We exalt intellect. We exalt appearance. We exalt income. We exalt job performance. We live in a very self-centered me generation. It's get all you can and can all you get. It's about praising me. Look what I have done. But Paul says that's not acceptable boasting. There's only one kind of boasting that's acceptable, and that is the boast in the cross. To boast in what Christ has done. Salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. When we get to heaven, we're not going to be boasting about ourselves. We're going to be boasting about God, what God has done, who God is, and that all the glory is due him. For whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, to give God the praise. Heaven is going to be sweet because we're going to be praising God. It would be a drudgery if we were praising you and praising me. I used to work in a grocery store, and you develop little sayings, different things. And people would always say, I would ask how they are. Oh, no. They would say, I'm okay. No use complaining about it. How many times have you said, no use complaining about it? I said, yeah, you can't complain about it because other people are complaining too. They're not going to hear you because they're complaining about their problems. If that's how life here on earth is, can you imagine what heaven would be if it was like that? Oh, here comes Sister So-and-so. She's going to tell me how she got here by this, that, and the other. She won't let me tell my story. See, me-centered. But it's going to be, tell me what Christ has done. How Christ saved you. What Christ has done. Who God is. That's going to be heaven. And that should be our lives now. A cross-centered life is humble. It's not prideful. Pride, P-R-I-D-E, is I-centered. It's interesting that the letter I is center of the word pride. So are you cultivating humility in your life? Are you trying to crucify human pride? It's natural. How do we do that? How do we crucify human pride? How do we cultivate humility? We go to the cross. The cross will be honest with you. The cross will say, it's not you. It's at the cross where our bubble is popped. We must crucify the flesh. We must walk in the Spirit to cultivate humility. We must avoid the false teacher's patterns of boasting in the flesh. Look, the scripture says to humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We are to practice humility. We have to keep practicing humility. It's one thing when you get to the point where you say, I'm humble, you're not. That was a very proud statement you just made. Back to the drawing board. Go back to it again. If we do not humble ourselves, something else, someone else will humble us for us. And that's called humiliation. It's either humility or humiliation. Which one do you want? No one wants to be humiliated, but we need to practice humility. Crucified pride. Heard a story of a young pastor. He was struggling with a few things, so he went to an older pastor. And he told the pastor, I'm struggling with pride. And the pastor said, what do you got to be proud about? Basically, there's nothing for you to be proud about. Why are you struggling with pride? We need to crucify the flesh. We need to crucify pride. A cross-centered life is humble, not prideful. Look at verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. A cross-centered life boasts in the cross, not self. Don't boast in anything else other than the cross. To boast in the cross means to glory in the cross. To make much of the cross. To be consumed with the cross. To be mastered by the cross. And boasting in the cross implies that you place your confidence in Christ. You put your confidence in his work for your salvation. You're not trusting your religious acts. Cross exalters rest everything in what Christ has done. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I was thinking, as I was thinking about next week's messages and starting, I was reading one book. He says, if someone were to ask you, how do you know you're going to heaven? And your answer begins with I, you already have the wrong answer. How about that? I. Now, there is an element that we have to respond. We have to believe. But it's what God has done. It's what Christ has done. And we boast only in the cross because every spiritual blessing you enjoy is due to the cross. Everything you enjoy spiritually is from the cross. Everything you enjoy physically because you're a Christian is because of the cross. Because you're a Christian because of the cross. Everything we enjoy as new creatures, new creations, is owing to a cross. Do you enjoy justification? Boast in the cross. Do you enjoy in redemption? Boast in the cross. Do you enjoy adoption into God's family? Boast in the cross. Do you enjoy the Holy Spirit? Boast in the cross. It's what Christ accomplished for us was done at the cross. Now, you are not boasting in a piece of wood, but you're boasting what was done on that piece of wood. That Jesus was crucified. That he died for your sin. He died to give you new life. So a cross-centered life is humble, not prideful. A cross-centered life is boast in the cross, not self. Look at the rest of verse 14. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. A cross-centered life treasures Christ, not the world. Treasures Christ, not the world. Paul put it this way in Philippians. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. See, a lot of people don't want to die because they think the epitome of their life is here on earth. They think for me to live is this, and to die is a big bummer. To die is a letdown. But not for Paul, not for the believer. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The cross has a present power in our lives. The cross has the power to free us from the world's bondage. The world speaks of a system and a nature of this age. When we say the world, we're not talking about terra firma. We're not talking about dirt. We're not. That's a whole different word. That's actually the Greek word ge, ge, which is where we get our word geo for geographic and geology and all that. It's talking of the word here for world is cosmos, where we get the word cosmopolitan. It's talking about a world system, a system that is against God, against the things of God. It's the system and the nature of this age. Corruption, meaninglessness, hopelessness, futility, warped values, despair are all aspects of the world. And Paul says that the believer and the world are dead to each other. The two have parted ways. On the account of the cross, the cares of this world do not have to crush us because we have a different perspective than that of the world. People who don't believe there's a God, who are atheistic, atheism, no God, they believe it's all relies on them. Then pantheism believes God's in everything, and so you got to call on one of the million gods to help you. And so those thinkings have entered our culture. They have entered our thinking. If you hear anyone say to you, they're not religious, but they're spiritual, they're neither that either. If you hear someone, well, the universe is trying to teach me, it's not the universe. It's the God of the universe. And the world system says, it's up to me, and I got to do this. But the world system entices with its riches. It entices with its pleasure. Satan knows how to deceive. Satan knows how to distract. See, you think you're all sophisticated, but he puts a little shiny bobble down there for you, and you take it just like a fish takes a bait. Oh, I'm not easily distracted, squirrel. We are just more sophisticated at our distractions. We're more sophisticated at that. He has the same playbook. But what Paul was saying here is to treasure Christ, live Christ out. You are dead to the world. That means the world should have no influence on you, no impact on you. Now, many of you have been to a funeral, and you've been to a viewing. They have an open casket, and people say, don't they look natural? I want to say, no, they look dead. But that person who's not there, what would they think if their makeup was smeared? What would you think right now if your makeup was smeared? Oh my, no, no. Because you care. It's part of the attraction of the world. What would they think? They're dead to it. They're dead to it. They don't care what you think about their makeup. They don't care. Oh, how could she wear that dress? They're dead. And that's how we are to be to the world. Not to care what the world thinks about us. Now, I'm not saying to go out there and look a slob and have your makeup all smeared. You know, you should look presentable and nice. But I'm just saying the opinions of people don't need to matter to us. What you treasure, there your heart is. And too many Christians treasure the world. Too many Christians treasure the things of this world. I was talking to a student this week who is doing an internship, and he's from Minnesota, and he's doing his internship at Washington State. I said, oh, okay. I said, I'm not sure how much difference Washington State from Minnesota is going to be, but there's going to be some things you're going to notice probably in Washington State. He said, like what? I said, well, I pastored there for 5 years. You're going to notice that it's a very recreation-oriented society. I said, if you go around your small town, you'll probably see a camper in every driveway. Because they all have campers, because they all go somewhere on the weekend. Not church, but somewhere else. I said, oh, okay, that's good to know. I said, you're not going to be there during football season, but, you know, football season, the game starts at 1 o'clock here on the East Coast. They don't delay it. It starts at 10 a.m. on the West Coast. So churches are competing with people who are watching football. It's what they want. It's what they treasure. I said, the East Coast was founded for religious freedom. The West Coast was founded for the pursuit of gold, the gold rush, and to get away from the East Coast. A very different mentality out there than what you might find on the East Coast. It just shows you the treasure more. Everything that's a problem on the West Coast is also a problem on the East Coast. It's also a problem in the middle of America. It's also a problem in the Bible Belt. What is it that we treasure? Do we treasure Christ? A cross-centered life treasures Christ, not the world. In verses 15 to 16, we read, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, the mercy and upon Israel, the Israel of God." A cross-centered life values spiritual transformation, not eternal ritual. I'm going to have to explain that one. It values spiritual transformation, not eternal ritual. I want you, if you got taking notes, I want you to go ahead and draw a cross. And to the one side of the cross, write BC, before Christ. On the other side, write AC, after Christ. Under the BC side, write the law. On the AC side, write liberty. On the BC side, write circumcision. On the AC side, write uncircumcision. Because that's what Paul's saying. When you come to Christ, there is a spiritual transformation. It changes you. The cross is a line of demarcation. It's before Christ and after Christ. It's a change in the way you relate to the law. The law just showed you that you needed Christ. You don't live by the law after Christ. Circumcision before Christ, sure. After Christ means nothing. It avails nothing. The cross has done something that the flesh will never do. It has given spiritual transformation. Christ has made a new people. There's a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. His cross marks an absolute break between the new and the old. It's a break between the old world system and the new believer. It's a break between the world system and Christianity. The cross is a line of demarcation that produces spiritual transformation and not just ritual forever and ever. And Paul says a cross-centered life values that spiritual transformation that Christ has done on the cross. At the end of verse 16, it says, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God." Fifthly, a cross-centered life walks in truth, not error. Walks in truth, not error. The phraseology here that says this rule, you're like, what rule is he talking about? It's the message of the cross. It's the message of the cross and new creation. Paul is passionate about his people walking in, not just affirming intellectually, the truth of the gospel. The blessing, the peace, are opposite of the curse that he wished upon those who taught false gospels. Remember in chapter 1? He says, anyone comes to you preaching a false gospel, a curse be upon him, because I don't want a curse on you if you're preaching the right gospel. I want a blessing upon you. We find peace when we walk in the gospel. And we can experience mercy, and we can show mercy when we saturate ourselves with the gospel. Because the gospel changes things. We're loving because of the gospel. We're caring because of the gospel. We have empathy for one another because of the gospel. We're concerned with one another's spiritual state because of the gospel. When we saturate the gospel, there's an old computer term, I'm guessing it's still around today, maybe it's not used, but it's called GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. What you put in is what comes out. We need some GIGO. We need to put in the Bible so what comes out is the Bible. It's not about memorizing verses just for the sake of memorizing verses, but to internalize those verses and live those verses, to apply those verses. I don't want to get it too far ahead, but I'm probably going to. We're going to talk about Philip tonight. And when Philip is talking to the Ethiopian eunuch, he doesn't go through a rote plan of salvation. He's like, okay, now, here's Romans 8. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans 3. Okay, now let's go to Romans 6. Now let's go back to Romans 5. Now let's go back to Romans 6. Now let's go to Romans 10. Got it? He doesn't do that with the Ethiopian eunuch, partially because Romans is not written yet, but that's not the point. The point is, he just talks the gospel with them because the gospel is part of his life that he can just share it. Oftentimes, when I go to a hospital visit, I sit there and I'm like, oh my stars, what am I going to do? Where do I go? What verse do I? What? And many times I do Psalm 103 that talks about healing. But most of the time what I do is, okay, what did I read in the scriptures today? Or what am I preparing for sermons coming up this Sunday? And how does that apply to this situation? And I just share what I've been studying, share what I've been learning. See, we think the sharing the gospel is hard. When reality, and I've heard this term several times this week in different contexts, I'm like, yeah, that's it. Basically, the preachers have asked this, and I'm going to ask you, have you been gossiping the gospel? Gossiping the gospel. Just sharing it in your everyday conversation. Just talking about it. Just like you would if you were gossiping. You know? Gossiping the gospel. How's that? That's nice. It's alliterative. It's got everything. But just sharing the gospel. So across our life, walks in truth. Doesn't just talk about truth, but lives in truth, not error. And finally, in verses 17 to 18, a cross-centered life seeks to please Christ, not man. Paul says this, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. He says, I will not allow myself to be troubled, harassed, or bothered by the agendas and the rules of people, especially these false teachers. Instead, he says, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to live for Jesus. See, unlike the Judaizers, Paul didn't avoid persecution. He's got the marks in the body to show that I didn't avoid persecution. He was a faithful messenger. He was a scarred messenger, but he boasted in Christ. And he concludes with grace. He has spoken of being called by grace, the necessity of believing in the gospel of grace. This whole letter is about the grace of Jesus Christ, God's unmerited favor for sinners, Christ dying for us, Christ justifying us, Christ redeeming us, Christ adopting us, the Spirit indwelling us, the church helping us, and it's all because of grace. A cross-centered life seeks to please Christ, not man. A cross-centered life walks in truth, not error. A cross-centered life values spiritual transformation. A cross-centered life treasures Christ, not the world. A cross-centered life boasts in the cross, not self. And a cross-centered life is humble, not prideful. The grace of God revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ has not only changed our relationships with God, it has changed our relationships with people. And God forms a family through the gospel. A cross-centered life is reflected so well in the beloved hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the cross of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? His dying crimson like a robe spreads o'er his body on the tree. Then am I dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life,